Good to see you again. Praise the Lord. It was only a few minutes ago, but praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. We are here tonight, and I am bringing another session of the Way of Holiness. The Way of Holiness is so important. The Bible says that without holiness that we can't even see God. So it's important for us to learn these things. Very, very important to learn all this stuff. Before I get going into it, before we say prayer, who wants to know what's in my box? Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Something really cute. Some of you old folks might have seen these before, right? You've probably only seen them as monkeys before, but I got the cuter version. These ones are the cute ones. And yes, they have to do with our holiness. It really does. It really does. It's not just a matter of our learning manners or being polite or anything. It really is a matter of our holiness. The first scripture that I have tonight is pretty lengthy, so why don't we just go ahead and pray first, and then we'll just jump into it. Lord Jesus, I thank you again, God, for bringing us together, my Jesus, each and every one of us here tonight, Lord. I know that we can get something from your word tonight. Oh, Jesus, give us a heart for you, Lord God. Help us to have ears to hear and Lord, a heart to accept everything that you have for us. We love you and we thank you, my Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you give us an opportunity to learn from you. Learn from your word, God. It's about you, Lord Jesus. It's about you, and that's what we want to learn. I thank you, God, for everything that you do. Thank you, Lord. Have your way tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, our lesson tonight is talking about the tongue, the cute little red one. Speak no evil. It's the hear no evil, see no evil, and the speak no evil. This one is the one that we're, the tongue, of course, talking about that. So, some of you that have read through your Bible, you probably know that James, the book of James, is the one that really talks a lot about the tongue. This was one of the subjects when I first got into church that I really studied a lot because I knew I needed it. But it wasn't necessarily just these verses. It was more the verses in Proverbs. Psalms and Proverbs. Yeah, Proverbs has a lot to say about your tongue, your lips, your speech, all those different things. If you read through Proverbs, you're going to understand a lot more of how you're supposed to speak and how the Lord expects us to present ourselves. Little comment there, too, is that I know the first time I went through Proverbs in the King James Version, I was so confused. I was so confused. So I would suggest you find an easier version to read. Go ahead. The first time you read through something, it's fine to get something easy so you can read through it, get a general understanding, and then go to the King James and look, dig deeper. You'll get more understanding. Don't keep kicking yourself, oh, it's too hard, I can't do it. No, just find a different version and read through it so you can get some understanding. Now, with that said, we're going to I'm going to read it through two different versions. James chapter 3, verse 1. And I'm sorry I didn't have any handouts for everybody, so you'll have to go to your Bible yourself or just follow along here, where it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all." People just make mistakes. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body, just a little thing in their mouth, they go back and forth. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Our tongues, and set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. I'm going to go ahead and go through. This is my foundation scripture tonight, so I'm going to go through it, God's word also. A little bit easier. I mean, that was pretty, I think you understood most of that, but I want to put it in a little bit simpler. From the God's word, James 3:1. Brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers. You know that we who teach will be judged more severely. I think I've told some people, you know, when I bring something to you, this is the second or third time through because I've been studying it first. So God's been already getting on me. You're getting it firsthand now, but I've already been through this. Same with pastor. You know, anybody that teaches, we've been through it already. So the Lord is expecting us to learn it, right? So verse 2, all of us make lots of mistakes. If someone doesn't make any mistakes when he speaks, he would be perfect. He'd be able to control everything he does. We put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, and we have control over everything they do. The same thing is true for ships. They are very big and are driven by strong winds, yet by using small rudders, pilots steer ships wherever they want them to go. In the same way, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it can brag about doing important things. A large forest can be set on fire by a little flame. A large forest. Think about all the fires across the country. Just a little flame starts it out. The tongue is that kind of flame. It is a world of evil among the parts of our bodies, and it completely contaminates our bodies. The tongue sets our lives on fire, and it is itself set on fire from hell. People have tamed all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures, yet no one can tame the tongue. Right there, no one can tame the tongue. Any of you that are parents have probably had this experience at one time or another. Your children have gotten into some sort of scuffle or something. They're complaining to one another, and then they bring it to mom and dad. And they go on and on and on. And you say, wait, wait, wait. And you go on and on and on. And they just keep on going. And you're saying, stop, so we're going to talk about this. And they go on and on and on. There's no off switch, is there? It just keeps going on and on and on. No off switch. It's an uncontrollable evil filled with deadly poison. No off switch. With our tongues we praise our Lord and Father, yet with the same tongues we curse people who were created in God's likeness. Praise and curses come from the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, this should not happen. Do clean and polluted water flow out of the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree produce olives? Can a grapevine produce figs? In the same way, a pool of salt water can't produce fresh water. So this is our foundation that we're talking about. how important that tongue really is. The things that we say is going to lead us in different directions, just like, you know, the horse or the ship. Another thing about the tongue reveals the condition of our heart. In Matthew 12:34, Brother Tim, I skipped that one. Slide 3, go back to that one right there. Right there. The tongue is an unruly member and a test of our true religion. It's an unruly member. In James 1:26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. So the things that even a religious person said are going to be judged. They're going to be people around us judge it, and then God's going to judge it too. We're going to find out later. So the tongue reveals what's really the condition of our heart. In Matthew 12:34, now we can go there. Jesus was speaking and he says, O generation of vipers, snakes, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking now, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. This is so serious. In our day and age, people just, I mean, all over television, all over social media and everything, they just blab, 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 blab. It doesn't seem like they're trying to control what they say or say the right thing. And here, Jesus is saying our words are going to be judged, even the idle words. If we jump down to Matthew 15:18, it says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So our heart and our mouth, our words, are connected. We have to learn to control our speech. We have to learn how to put some sort of block before the things that we say. Psalm 19:14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let my words be pure and holy unto you, God. Let them be pleasing to you. Psalm 141, verse 3. David was saying, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Help me not to say the wrong thing. Oh, help me not to say the wrong thing. And don't you know that the enemy wants to take... Satan will take words and he'll twist them around. Things that you never meant it to mean something, somebody can pick it up and turn it to something just crazy on you. It's like, that's not what I meant. So, again, set a watch before my mouth, Lord, and help us. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Elements 2, we talked about seasoned with salt. And what is the salt supposed to do? How can you season your words with salt? Take out your salt shaker. Ah, there you go. I see you there. He's got his tongue out. Yeah, put some salt on there. Let those words be good, right? Well, that's what the seasoned salt is supposed to. It's supposed to make it appetizing and appealing. So the things that come out of your mouth are supposed to be appetizing and appealing to somebody. Always with grace. Let's go to slide 4. Unfortunately, well, don't you just love the Word of God? How God, He isn't just one-sided. He shows both sides of everything. And in this instance, he shows that we can be hindered by our speech or we can be blessed by our speech. In Isaiah 59, the Lord told Isaiah to talk to the rebellious people of Israel. And boy, Isaiah, he was some prophet, you know. He was really some prophet. Him and Jeremiah, they just had to keep preaching again and again to people that just would not hear. It was like they plugged their ears and they turned their back on them. No, we don't want to hear it. Whatever you have from, they would say on one hand, oh yes, tell us what the Lord has to say. And then they would say it and then they'd say, oh, we don't want to hear that part. But anyway, that's sort of like what Isaiah 59 here is. Verse 1. Let me go here first. From verses 1 through 8, it says, Israel found themselves in a place of desiring the blessings of the Lord and not understanding why they had been removed from them. Things just kept getting worse and worse, and they can't figure out, why is this happening? God has left us. What's going on? Why is this? And Isaiah told them that it's not because God's arm, that God didn't know, God's arm wasn't shortened, or he didn't hear what was going on, he didn't see it. He did. He knew everything that they were going through. But Isaiah told the children of Israel that it was because of their iniquity, the unrepented sin in their lives, that they had lost that blessing. God's not going to bless sin. God's not going to bless unrighteousness. He's not going to bless unrepented sin. So then it goes on, it talks about it. The remainder of that passage shows that they were guilty of hatching cockatrice eggs. Cockatrice. Anybody seen a cockatrice lately? Cockatrice? Some of you know what it is, right? Don't ask Brother Fred. He knows already. He knows. Anybody else know what a cockatrice is? It's a snake. Snake or viper. So he's talking, Isaiah is telling them, they're guilty of hatching snakes and vipers. This hatching of cockatrice eggs refers to the sin of the tongue, namely their backbiting and gossip among the children of Israel. So let's go to the scripture, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. I can't say it like Isaiah was probably saying it. I can just imagine him really getting into it. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments. You know, there are some spiders that make silk, right? Well, this is not what he's talking about. He's not talking about that silk. These webs are not going to become garments. Neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The path of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. You follow this way and you're not going to have peace. So this is a very strong warning, not just to the children of Israel, but to us too, because it is in the Word of God. It's for us. We see how God reacts to one thing. That's how we know he'll react to our things too. This is how God views the sins of the tongue. It's like vipers. Slide 5. Some of the things that our unrestrained tongue will do. We're going to go through a list of these different things that the tongue, how James said that it's full of all these wickedness. Well, we're going to list a few of these things. And boy, we live in a day and age where this is just all around us, everywhere. So talebearing is the first thing. Talebearing, this is a real problem of the tongue. Defined, talebearing is, of course, kind of an obsolete term that means gossip, and it has a very negative meaning. In Psalms 101, verse 5, it says, "Whoso privily slandereth," privately, privily means private, "slandereth" means to make a false or malicious statement of his neighbor, "him will I," the Lord, "cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer." The Lord is very adamant against this. He does not like talebearing. Also in Proverbs 11, verse 13, it says that a talebearer revealeth. Of course, that means to make known. You're going to uncover it. You're going to make known these secrets. Talebearing makes known secrets. "But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth," is going to cover the matter, pray about it, cover the thing with prayer, cover the thing asking the Lord to work it out, work these things out. Because we know things happen all the time, right? If anybody watches the news, it's all about talebearing, right? They try to dig up something here and there to tell about somebody or something. And yeah. It sells newspapers, it gets hits on the social media, but it's not what God wants, not at all. Proverbs 17, verse 9, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love." So you're trying to make it right, you're trying to be a peacemaker, you're trying to help that person. When you cover it with love, you cover it with compassion, you cover it with mercy. "But he that repeateth a matter," goes around telling everybody, "Did you hear about that? Can you believe they did this, they did that?" You keep doing that, it's going to separate even friends, even the closest of friends. You go around telling things, and pretty soon those people aren't going to want to be around you. It's like, don't tell them anything. You don't know where it's going to go. And it can do a lot of damage. We were talking about how the tongue can be like a flame and cause a lot of problems. Proverbs 26 and 20. "Where no wood is," what happens? Yeah. My husband gets upset with me sometimes because I let the fire go out during the day. He'll come home from work and he goes, "Did you put wood in the fire today?" No. Nope, not today. Although today, I started a fire. I got it going today because it was cold in my house. It was getting, you know, damp and cold and everything. But here where we're talking about a talebearer, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. Don't let it keep going. You know, if somebody comes to you wanting to tear down somebody or say something negative, you can say, "Wait a minute. How about if we pray about that? Wait a minute. Let's just stop right there. Wait. I don't need to hear that. I don't need the details. Maybe you can say just, you know, would you pray? I heard the family was going through something. Let's pray." Because God knows the rest of it. He knows all the details. So if we bring everything to Him, that's going to help the situation, not our passing it around, putting more wood on the fire. So talebearing or gossip, that can also be defined with backbiting, which is, oh, sorry, that was my fault. Backbiting, which is speaking evil, mean things about someone, slander, false or unverified rumors that defame someone. If you're going to pass on information, make sure it's true. truth checkers. Really check that it's true. And then, on top of that, even truth can be tale-bearing if it's told to someone that doesn't need to know. Or if somebody goes around just to tell it to hurt somebody else's reputation, it might be true. I think anybody could come up with your own examples. I'm not going to throw any out there, but to hurt their reputation. If you heard that somebody really did trip and fall in their walk with God, please just pray for them with mercy and compassion and love. Don't try to pull them down. If you are not part of the problem and you're not part of the solution, then you probably don't need to be involved with it. Just let it go. Just let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't let it sit in your heart. The next one is sowing discord. This is something that the Lord really hates. In Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, how he hates these things. Because with the tongue, we can either unify, help each other get better and do better, or we can divide. Wars have been started with words, right? With the tongue. So, Proverbs 6. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. If anything's an abomination to God, it doesn't change. There are some things in the Old Testament that said that they're an abomination to Israel, they're an abomination to a person. Those can be forgiven, but if it's an abomination to God, it's always going to be an abomination to God. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So even though this is in the Old Testament and it's an abomination to God then, it's an abomination now. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates it. He doesn't want his church to be divided. He wants us to be unified, all in one mind and one accord, right? Not to be discord, not to have that discord. The next one is swearing, what our tongue can do. Sometimes we just don't think enough sometimes when we're talking. What am I saying? What am I putting myself into when I say this? In Matthew 5, Jesus spoke very sternly about swearing or making an oath. Starting at verse 34, Jesus said, again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time. So back in Moses' time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, which just means don't make yourself a liar, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it's his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou can't make one hair white or black. Don't we wish to get all that gray hair out of there? But we can't do it. We can't do it. But Jesus says, but let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So here I'm going to pick up the New Living Translation, bring it down to everybody. You have also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, this is Jesus now, I say, do not make any vows. Don't say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. Don't say by earth, because the earth is his footstool. Don't say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Don't say by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say simply, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. Keep yourself yes and no. Yes and no. Christians have to always speak the truth, right? Be careful that you don't slip yourself into a situation that it's like, oh man, I told them this, and this is what I can or can't do. Ugh. My husband was one that taught me when we early on in our marriage, say what you mean and mean what you say. It is so important. Say what you mean and mean what you say so that you can stand by your word. Don't get tripped up in yourself, which as a young mother, I used to get myself tripped up with my kids all the time. We were talking about that in elements class too. Oh, I get myself tripped up because I wasn't really paying attention too much about what I was actually saying. Telling the kids, oh yeah, maybe we'll do this or maybe we'll do that. And it's like, they're coming back. Okay, Mom, when are we going to do it? When are we going to do it? And it's like, I don't know. So I did learn after a while. We'll think about that one. We'll think about it. Okay, somebody brought up in our elements class about, well, legal oaths. What do you do if you have to go to court and they want you to put your hand on the Bible or whatever? I looked it up today, and you don't have to do that. They have a stipulation that you can swear or sign a paper or something according to the civil thing. You don't have to put your hand on a Bible. But what you really want to say is that I affirm what I'm saying is true. I confirm it. I'm verifying it. I acknowledge that what I saw was true. The only thing that the court wants is that you're going to tell the truth, right? That's what they want. When you take an oath in court, I picked out this little bit in Google. Yeah, I use Google. The impacts of taking an oath in court. Taking an oath, regardless of the item being used, makes proceedings in court much more serious. I think that's the whole idea tonight about this whole tongue. It's a serious matter what we say. So in court, this is because witnesses are legally bound by an oath, and any false statements can be led to criminal penalties. This means that witnesses are expected to take their statements seriously and not to lie or mislead the court. So, of course, any of you that have been in court, you know it is a serious matter. You don't want to... You want to line up as best as you can. Have all your papers. Have everything done ahead of time that you were supposed to do. Talk nicely to the judge. There was, years ago, I went in with somebody just as a support into a court one day. And one of the people that were coming up before the judge, you could tell he was in a bad case right from the get-go. His whole demeanor was just anger. And he came up before the judge, and the judge was talking to him. And it was something that the guy, you know, he was getting some extra time. Not a whole lot, but a little bit, a few more days, weeks, or something like that. And that guy, that angry guy, just went off in front of the judge. His mouth wouldn't stop. He just kept swearing at him, and the judge is going, another month. The guy just kept spewing out the words. There was no off switch on that guy, and they had to drag him out. The judge just said, get him out of here. So... it's a serious matter. And that's what Jesus was saying, too. We're going to be judged by our idle words. It's a serious matter. The things that we do, it's holiness before the Lord, right? If we're carrying the Lord's name, then we have to be careful with our words. Another one of the things that the tongue can get us into is filthy communication, which is just an ungodly use of the tongue. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying," you know, bringing us together, "that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." The stuff that's in your heart, let that, you know, let all the stuff that God has put in you, let that come out. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, grace, mercy, peace, all those things. Put aside all the other things, this filthy communication. Colossians 3:8. "But now ye also put off all these," put off the things, "anger, put off wrath, put off malice and blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Put all of those things off. Bring on the new things of God and put the old things off. Ephesians 5:4. "Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting." "Oh, I was just joking. I didn't mean that. That was just a joke." Which are not convenient. But rather, what God would have us to do is give thanks. Give thanks for all things, right? In the New Living Translation, it reads like this. Ephesians 5:4 simply says, "Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God." So if you're in a group of people that are doing all these things, say, okay, that's enough. Walk away. You don't have to stay there with it. You can walk away. And that's going to make a statement to them too. I know many years ago my husband made at work, you know, he works at the shipyard. People talk like sailors at the shipyard. Right, it's gotten better because he made a stand. Anybody that came into his office or his cubicle, if they started spewing off those words, he goes, "Wait a minute, stop. That's not going to be here. You do that somewhere else. That if you're going to talk to me, don't bring that in here." We can make that stand, folks. We can do that. And even your whole disposition, if you're at work and they know what you stand for. This used to happen to me when I was doing inventory. I'd walk over and there'd be a group of people and they go, "Oh, wait, don't say that. Jeanette's here." They knew that I didn't want to hear that kind of stuff. And they would, thankfully, give me a little bit of space so I wouldn't have to hear their garbage. But anyway, so there's got to be thankfulness to God. Okay, the next one, the lot. Taking God's name in vain. Oh, this one drives me crazy. OMG. It's all over the place. OMG, OMG, OMG. I tell my kid, it's in Sunday school, not here. We're not going to say that here, not here. This is using God's name in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." We are to avoid all vain, that useless uses of God's reverent name. We're supposed to avoid all that. They're irreverent, they're profane, the trivial uses of a name or title of God. His name, the name of Jesus, is great and mighty above all. It's supposed to be for prayer, for praise, or serious discussion. Don't use slang, substitutes. That's another one. Going to the next slide, there's a whole bunch of these things that the tongue gets us in trouble with. Going on to the next slide here, cursing. Pronouncement of a curse upon someone, expressing malice. What is malice? It's always taking the evil part, cursing. People do this out in the world. Again, when I used to do inventory, this kind of stuff was going on a lot. I just told that person, go to, I don't know, just, they would curse all over the time. JC, all the time, all these different things. It's like, it's just, it's demeaning to God. It's trying to make him not as important as he is. In Romans 12:14, it says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Even those that persecute you. You're not supposed to ask God to kill them. You're not supposed to ask God to bring all kinds of trouble on top of them. You're supposed to bless them. Ask God to deliver them from whatever it is that they're going through. Deliver them. Let there be blessings upon them. Like James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. If you're walking with God, it's supposed to be blessing, blessing, blessing. Let him judge and bring the cursing upon somebody. Remember, it's unrepented sin that's going to bring the curses and the problems to somebody. That unrepented sin, as soon as somebody repents, God is going to go extra 10 steps. You take one step towards God and he's going to go the extra 10. But when you hold it back, that's yours. You hold it, then it's yours. The next one would be reviling or railing, which is just another poisonous use of the tongue. And these mean like abusive or scornful language towards someone or something. Again, that pulling down. This is not unifying words. This is pulling down. In 1 Corinthians 5:11, it says, but now I have written unto you not to company, if any man is called a brother, be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not eat. There's a lot of people in the world that say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, as they're drinking their beer or worse. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. It's like the scripture here doesn't correlate with that. It says, no, don't even keep company with those kind of people because that's not the fruit of the Spirit coming out of them. The next one would be lying, a false witness. Everybody knows what lying is. You're not telling the truth. False witness. It's the number 9 of the 10 commandments. Exodus 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Don't lie. Idle words. On the screen, I think. Idle words. Matthew 12, verse 36. Says, Jesus saying, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Going on to foolish talk. What is foolish talk? Idle, stupid. Ephesians 5:4 in the New Living Translation says, obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Oh, I just read that. But it's good to go back. Maybe we should all memorize that, right? We don't want this kind of stuff. Jesus even said, calling someone a fool. We're not supposed to do that. He compared derogatory words with murder. You can kill somebody with your words. And our words are going to be judged. In the New Living Translation, Matthew 5:21, Jesus saying, you have heard that our ancestors were told you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot or fool, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. Whew. That's tough. Boy, do we need Jesus, right? Oh, Jesus, I need you in my heart, God, so there's good things. Set a watch before my mouth. Set a watch before my mouth. Help me, Lord Jesus. Slide 7. There is a scripture. I have been praying and asking the Lord to give me an extra scripture about the Holy Ghost, why it was so important. Some people say, why did God choose tongues to be a sign of the Holy Ghost? Why did he do that? Well, when I came across Psalms 12, verse 1, I feel like I got the answer. Going there, Psalm 12, 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Doesn't seem like there's any godly around. The faithful fail from among the children of men. There's no faithful, godly people. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. So this verse 1, it's just who is the scripture talking about? It's the ungodly people. Verse 2 tells what are they doing. They speak vanity, the falsehoods. They use flattering lips. They speak with a double heart. You can't trust them. They say one thing out of this side and do the other over here. And isn't that like our day? We feel like we can't trust anybody, unfortunately. It is really hard to trust what people say because words are cheap and motives are debated. We don't know people's motives, but we always wonder, are they real? Are they really telling the truth? In verse 3, the Lord will not put up with that kind of flattery. And the proud attitude that is spoken, this is a proud pride. Pride is not good. We need to be humble. Psalms 12:4 goes on to say, they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips. Well, we just did that one. Slide 8. Isn't that it? Slide 8. 12:4. Verse 4. There it is. Verse 4 says, who have said, these vain people, these proud people, they're saying, with our tongue we'll prevail. Our lips are our own. Who's Lord over us? So what they're really saying is, I can say whatever I want. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Proud, very proud. Yeah, watch out, exactly. The Bible says that our tongue is the most unruly member of our body, and it reveals what our heart is, right? It does not want to submit to anyone. And the tongue reveals what our heart is like. So if we compare these verses of this proud, our lips are our own. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Compare this to a humble person that's really searching for God. They're going to be searching for God faithfully. They're going to be looking in his word. They're going to desire to speak with a pure heart, speaking truth with pure words, purity. They are going to say, the godly people are going to say, my lips are not my own. I need God's words to lead me. And they're going to say, Lord, have your way in me. Fill my heart. Whatever you want from me is what I want. That's what I want, God. I don't want all that other stuff. I don't want that junk. I don't want the malice, the anger, all those things to bubble out of my heart through my mouth. I want what you have for me, Jesus. This is just what happens when we receive the Holy Ghost. when we speak in tongues, that means that you've totally submitted unto God. You've given up your power of your words to Him. It's come in His heart. He's filling your heart and letting His words come out. Because what did Matthew 12:33 say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if your heart is full of God, and when you're speaking in tongues, that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be magnifying God, giving God glory with your words. So speaking in an unknown tongue is giving complete control of that unruly member to Jesus. That tongue that says, nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's what they do, right? What you're doing is giving it to God. Say, okay, God, I don't understand it. I really don't know what it's going to do, but I want it to be you. Give your mouth to Him to glorify you, to let His holiness live in you, so that you can trust in Him to do a good work through your lips. You won't be tearing things down. You'll be edifying. You're going to be lifting people up with your tongue. So since the Holy Ghost is evidenced by speaking in tongues, that you're magnifying the Lord through your lips, and that gives us power also when we're not speaking in tongues, when we're around everybody else, when we're doing our everyday things, God leaves a part of it in our heart so good things keep coming out. We want those good things to keep coming out. So isn't that something that we should be praying for? Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to finish with that. That is something that we need to be praying for, asking God to fill our hearts with His holiness. Holiness is so much more than what we can really put teaching on. It's just so much more. It's God. It's God's Spirit moving in us, making us new people, moving out the old things and bringing in the new things. We're going to end with Psalm 141, verse 3. The psalmist understood that he could not control his tongue without the help of God. It really is, when we're asking God, set a watch before my mouth. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. And that really is what we want. We just have to realize the same thing, that I can't do it on my own, God. I mess up so many times. So many times I've had to go back and say I'm sorry. So many times I've had to say, oh, why did that have to come out of my mouth? Oh, Lord Jesus. What I'm going to ask for you right now is just that you would pray and that you would ask forgiveness. We all have to ask forgiveness for this, because we all have mouths that speak things. And we're just going to go ahead and pray for a little while, asking God to fill my heart with your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Fill me with you, God. Oh, that my words would be acceptable before you, Lord Jesus. God, let your Spirit fall in this place tonight, my Jesus. Fill each and every one of us here tonight, my God, with your holiness, my Jesus. Oh, your wonderful holiness, your power, Lord Jesus, to be overcomers, my God. Lord, you didn't show us all these scriptures, Lord Jesus, to make us fail. Lord, it's to make us victorious through you, Jesus. We fail when we do it in ourselves, God. We fail when we don't ask for your help, Jesus, but we have it in you, my God. Oh, you are the great and mighty Spirit, God, that brings us to peace and comfort and holiness and a pure heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, I love you. I thank you, Jesus. La 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 Makariate. Those that have the Holy Ghost, just let it flow. Let it flow. Let God's praise go through this house tonight, God.